Okay, hello, and welcome to the latest episode of Innovations in Education, eCampus News' podcast on the latest and greatest happenings in higher ed tech this week. I'm Kevin Hogan, and I'm glad you found us. This episode, I had the opportunity to chat with Muhlenberg College President Kathleen Haring about their institution's recent achievements in recruiting and ultimately graduating students from low-income environments. Muhlenberg College this month was named an American Talent Initiative High Flyer by Bloomberg Philanthropies, one of a group of 28 high graduation rate institutions nationwide, recognized as leaders in college access and success for lower income students. ATI was formed in December 2016 with a goal to attract, enroll, and graduate an additional 50,000 lower income students at the 341 colleges and universities that consistently graduate at least 70% of their students in 6 years. So how do they do it? Let's dig in.
Well, President Haring, thank you so much for joining me today. I really appreciate your time and your insights.
Well, I'm glad to be with you, Kevin, and thank you for the time together to talk about the ATI initiative.
Yeah, and I guess to start off, congratulations. Seems like you're in some high cotton there with a number of other institutions and with a really kind of great mission and great effort. Give us a little bit of background.
Well, first of all, I am just so honored to serve on the National Steering Committee for the American Talent Initiative. Little bit about ATI and our goals. ATI was formed December of 2016. The goal was to attract, enroll, and graduate an additional 50,000 lower income and moderate income students at top colleges and universities that consistently graduate high rates, specifically 70% of our students in 6 years. And that's really important. This group of institutions, we are now 137. We are all elite institutions, both public and private, across the country. And the focus is really on enrolling. We are supporting our students, all students, and we are graduating at very, very high rates. The initiative is led by Bloomberg Philanthropies in partnership with the Aspen Institute and Ithaca SNR. And Muhlenberg joined it in 2018. That was about 2 years after it initially started. I think particularly with the high flyer status, Muhlenberg is just very pleased to be one of the 20 institutions that's been recognized by Bloomberg Philanthropies. And we're recognized for the progress that we have made in not just meeting, but exceeding our goals in the midst of very challenging circumstances. In 2016, no one ever predicted, obviously, that we were going to be working toward these goals in the midst of a pandemic and all of the challenges that came with that. And so I think that the very nature of the work that we do is challenging. The pandemic and everything surrounding the pandemic has made this work even more challenging. But all of our institutions, all 137, are very committed to that work. Specifically with Muhlenberg, we have made significant gains in our percent of Pell students during the time, particularly over the past 3 years. So it's interesting that we have seen significant, consistent progress even in the midst of the pandemic. In 2019, we were at about a 17% Pell share. Muhlenberg's ATI goal is 20%. And I can tell you that in fall of 2021, we increased that to 21%. And we're seeing, fall of 2022, we were actually a little over 22%, and we remain over 20% what we expect in this fall's first year class. So not just meeting, but exceeding our accelerating opportunity goal.
Yeah, operating this during a global pandemic is even more extraordinary. Talk a little bit about whether the pandemic affected the way in which you approached this community. I mean, I also realized that during the pandemic, a lot of other issues in society came up, a lot, including the idea of diversity, equity, inclusion, a recognition of underserved communities, there was an awareness that seemed to have been built. Was that part and parcel of part of your successes?
That That is a great question and very perceptive, Kevin, because for me and specifically at Muhlenberg, our commitment to diversity, equity, inclusion, and belonging, and the belonging piece is incredibly important, is directly related to our ATI goals. And so I think in some ways, because we are so committed to making sure that every single student who comes to Muhlenberg feels as though they are valued, that they have a voice, that they are part of the community, that they belong, that actually has been part of our success in particularly enrolling, but then also making sure that our students are retained and that all students are able to accept all of the amazing opportunities that we have here. So I think you're right on track there, that there is this real intersection between the diversity and equity and inclusion belonging goals that we have and our success in meeting our ATI goals.
Can you share some of the secret sauce? I mean, were there any specific kind of innovations that came about that you can extol?
I think part of it, I would say for us, it was not necessarily any specific program. It was taking what we already had and aligning it very much with the needs that our current students had, particularly our lower income and moderate income students. And then, you know, prioritizing it in terms of resource allocation. Let me just kind of talk about a couple things. First of all, Muhlenberg's a place where there really are not silos between academic affairs, student affairs, career center. And so what we did even before the pandemic and are currently doing now is providing a much more integrated student support across academic advising, across the career center, across disability services and the writing center. We do have a program called the Emerging Leaders Program, which had been started years ago, but we recently have been with a donor gift, been able to expand the cohorts of those programs. It's a cohort program from students from underserved populations where they come in for pre-orientation somewhat earlier before the other students in the first year cohort. And the focus really is on making sure that those students know what the resources are, that those students are able to connect with one another, but also to connect with peer mentors, faculty mentors, staff mentors. We had an article on this work and this program a couple of months ago, and it really talked about this sort of network of mentors that supports those students. And I do need to note that peer mentors, trained peer mentors, are an important part of that. You know, again, something we had before, and I would say in the midst of the pandemic, we were able to expand access by adding another cohort. We also have what is called the care team. The care team is a group of staff across academic affairs, student affairs, counseling, health center, Office of Disability Services, multicultural center, who all work together, meet weekly in order to identify students they're concerned about, students who need various resources. And we have, during the pandemic, that was an important group that identified students early, very early on, who maybe were having some challenges. So we were able to provide wraparound support. And then I can't say enough, and this was also something that even before the pandemic, we started several different initiatives. One was emergency grants for students who maybe needed to buy a new computer, maybe actually lost their glasses and needed to get a new pair of glasses, hard to look at the blackboard, or even actually your Zoom screen before that. We also started a fund, and a lot of this was funds that came not just from the college, but also from donors for experiential learning. So at Muhlenberg, the education doesn't just happen in the classroom. It's also outside the classroom, with experiences such as undergraduate research, working with a faculty member, study abroad. We have some short-term study abroad programs that are led by faculty that are very powerful, as well as semester and year-long programs, internships, community-based learning. Well, we know from the research in higher education that those opportunities are really important for all students. They're even more important for underrepresented students, from students who come from diverse backgrounds. And so we have a fund, experiential learning grants, that students are able to apply for and get funds so that they are able to access those experiences. The other thing, and this all happened again before the pandemic, we put in place the mule cap. Muhlenberg's mascot is the mule, and the mule cap. And so we had both a food pantry, but also supplies, hygiene supplies, cleaning supplies, and all of those initiatives, all of that work, all of those were in place before the pandemic. And I can tell you that we have clear evidence that having that financial support, having that other support with the cabinet, all of those things were incredibly important for making sure that students didn't have to take a semester off, that students had what they needed in order to do their work, do their classwork, be able to access these opportunities. And that clearly was important for making sure that students stayed enrolled, were able to succeed, and then were able to achieve post-grad outcomes that they may never have been able to without that type of support.
So did you remain open during the pandemic?
We had on campus in the fall of 2020, our first year students and some select upper class students. And then in the spring of 21, all students were back on campus. But I can tell you that initiatives such as our affinity groups, our clubs, our organizations, all things that also were important for connecting students to community were going on virtually, even if not all students were on campus.
And you mentioned the emergency grants for laptops and technology. Another thing that happened during the pandemic that made it clear that there was still a lot of inequity when it comes to getting internet access when you're at home, not only students, but faculty members as well, kind of across the board. Can you talk a little bit about any innovations when it comes to the use of technology to these particular students that you're going to keep in place now that we're back to whatever normal is?
Well, specifically during the pandemic, those, emergency grants for students were available if they needed to increase their Wi-Fi access or anything like that. But I would note that students who had situations where it simply would not be conducive, if they applied to be on campus, if they weren't first-year students, they were actually on campus. So we did, those were special situations where we definitely wanted to make sure that students had the best possible experience. I would say now, a couple of things that seem to work well during the pandemic that have remained. Obviously, being able to connect virtually means that you have a certain access that you may not have. It was always in person. And so many of our faculty members are offering both in-person office hours, although at Muhlenberg, we call them student hours, to make it very clear this is time for students to be meeting with their faculty members, and we strongly encourage that. But they're offering in-person, but they're also offering Zoom. And that's something, in the busy students' lives, where it can actually increase access with their faculty members. I think faculty members' capacity in Muhlenberg have actually invested in training as well as technology for digital pedagogies before the pandemic. So that was also something that allowed us to kind of move faster to a place where we were able, our faculty were able to offer liberal arts, and we, very much high touch liberal arts classes, discussion based classes with a variety of pedagogies because they were already trained and doing some of that in their face to face classes. And some of that still remains where, students working together on group projects, students being able to connect with alumni who are maybe mentoring them, who are providing them some input into their research or their internships, even, virtual internships and what we call externships, which are shorter periods. All of those things went on during the pandemic and are offering students greater access to more opportunities now that we're all face to face.
Last question. What sort of recommendations would you give to our readers and to our listeners who haven't reached those same goals for Pell Grant and who want to reach this community of students? Where should they begin?
I think that they should actually listen to their students. I think that, you know, part of what we did here at Muhlenberg is we paid very close attention to what our students were saying that they needed. And then we actually changed how we did things in order to make sure that all students' needs were addressed and that they were able to access those opportunities. So listen to your students, because all colleges, all universities, campuses are different, and realize that there are different types of students and different groups of students, different individual students need to have, you know, different types of programs, different types of resources that allow them to succeed and to achieve their goals.
That's great stuff. Once again, President Haring, I appreciate your time. Congratulations. It's a great story. And I wish you and your faculty and your students continued success.
Thank you so much, Kevin. It was great talking to you.
And that's all there is for this month's episode of eCampus News' Innovation in Education. Be sure to subscribe for more episodes on your favorite podcast platform and go to eCampusNews.com for plenty of more content.